We left off last week talking a little bit about some of the intricacies of the tefillah on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and throughout the period of the Seder Tshuva. So we mentioned that Chazal instituted two changes into the Nusach HaTefillah, one being the Bracha of HaMalach HaKadosh, one the other one being the Bracha of HaMalach HaMishpat. We mentioned that if a person made a mistake, so that's a problem, they're not going to have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. The only thing is about HaMalach HaMishpat, there are more quotes, a possibility. But since you didn't mention Melech, it's not like you just said Kale in the Bracha, so maybe with the Evan that would be acceptable. Even that is not agreed upon by everybody. Melech HaKadosh, so we assume that if a person made a mistake on Melech HaKadosh, one would be required to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. However, one of the exceptions to that rule is when the person corrected his mistake immediately. What does that mean, immediately? So within what was called Telchidei Dibur, the Gemara Sekhes Nedarim has a sugya, a very, very different context of what's called Telchidei Dibur. So a person is buying something, and he says he goes through the sale, and then a split second later he backs out from it. A person takes a nether, then a split second later he backs out from it. The Gemara says, the Hukhta Telchidei Dibur Kidibur Dami, that whenever a person backs out from something, Telchidei Dibur, Telchidei Dibur, meaning the amount of time it says it takes to say Shomalecha Rebbe. Question of the Gemara, Rebbe, very Shomalecha. A question of a split second, how much exactly we're talking about. But the amount of time that it takes to say that phrase to Rebbe, Shomalecha Rebbe, so one can technically back out from something. It's called Telchidei Dibur. The Gemara has Telchidei Dibur by Chalosim. It's a person as a chalos of a kinyan, so he can back out from it. This makes a chalos of a nether, he can back out from it. So Gemara raises the question whether he can back out from even more serious chalos, from kedushin, from gerushin. And then the Gemara changes rules. The Gemara says that no. If he'll put a tef, then he will kidney, but dummy. Chutz to Mekadosh, Mekadosh, but there are a few other cases here and there. So what does that mean? Do we accept this notion of backing out? We don't accept this notion of backing out. So the Rana, the famous beer in Masechet Nedar, the Rana explains that what is tef the Nebo all about? I said it already. I made the sale already. It's final. I already made the nether. It's final. Goodness, come on. What do you mean I can back out of it? So the Rana explains that people tend to do things without thinking so much. It's a general problem in life. That people agree to things, they start on things, and then they kind of think about it a little bit later. We'll reconsider in a minute or two. So the Rana says that just because a person agreed to make a sale and actually went through with the sale, did the vice Kenyan, he still always has in the back of his mind that he'll give himself a split second or so to retract. So therefore, Chazal said it's kind of a built-in das. There's an umdura that a person has that ability to back out for a very, very short amount of time. When it comes to very, very serious kinds of things, like kedushin, guy's going to get married and then decides to get back out a second later, he's going to get and decides to get back out a second later, that's unlikely. So therefore, we assume that the das was, or das shalev, or das gemura, it's impossible to retract from. So according to the Rav, this idea of Telchidei Dibur is a nimid d'oraisa, it's chazal mishayer that this is what the das adam is all about, and then the fact that you can't back out from other things is also nimid d'oraisa, because chazal mishayer that the das for the adam is not that way. That's the Rav's whole presentation, the lachta about the sugya of Telchidei Dibur. So the Torah, that presentation, the sugya of Telchidei Dibur, has absolutely nothing to do with that sugya. Here a guy says, Hakel HaKadosh, and they're saying, I'm Melech HaKadosh. Not a chalois, the das, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. What in the world is the connection between the sugya and the sekhs, the darim, backing out from kedusha, backing out from the chiris, backing out from the darim, from shmuz, etc. What does that have to do with fixing your mistake in the chutzpilah? Zero connection whatsoever. So the answer is that if you look at the Gemara and the sekhs, the darim, you realize that there are actually, in some brisket, there are actually two different halachas of Telchidei Dibur. There's one halacha of Telchidei Dibur that a person can back out from something because his das wasn't really complete. Then there's another bit of Telchidei Dibur that we view that different statements that were made, Telchidei Dibur, as kind of blending into one, kind of merging into one. That's the second statement, kind of piggybacks on the first statement. What does that mean? Where do you find such a halacha? The Gemara says in Masechet Makos that we just learned in yesterday's Kesedara, there are dinim of tzir of edim to a group of edim. Tell the Moshel, if two edim come and give edus, so in order for the sugya of edim zomit to kick in, both edim have to become edim zomit. Let's say you have 15 edim that testify together. So the only way they become edim zomit is if all 15, achiazimukulam, only if all they become edim zomit. How do you know what's considered to be one group of Edom, what's considered to be multiple groups of Edom? Let's say two Edom testified that Reuben killed Shimon, and then next week another two Edom come and say the same thing. So if we view them as one group, and Achi Azum Kulam, the Gemara says at the beginning of the Sefer Makas, Behusha Edom Techidei Dibur. But the only time that Edom are considered to be one group, they only join forces, that's only when the Edom took place Techkedei Dibur, that they testified within the very, very split second of one of another, that's considered to be a tzir for Edom. I think I've told over this many times, that the Machlokes of Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish, about on Friday night, when we say Vayechulu, if they're davening, so whether he's supposed to say it as the Torah's Edom said, so Mishnah Berurah is a famous Chumrah, that Apishtai Edom, he's supposed to say Vayechulu together with somebody else, it should be HaGodes Edos. So the Chazon Ish was very opposed to that practice. The Chazon Ish said that you only run around and looking for two Edom when the deliverer of the latest Hasophic. You're not sure that something, so you have to make sure you have that on the full story, so you gotta have Apishtai Edom Dover. But if something is so obvious, then even that Echad should be sufficient. For a person to look around for a second aid to be made that the Moshe was buried Shalai Arat is a little bit of a chisus that comes to the Moshe. You should get up and say that you're 2 feet, not 2 feet, maybe 4 feet, 2 feet. You get up and say yourself that the Moshe was like Chalosh Rav Arat Chutzvah. So the different argument, but some insist on finding the way to some don't insist on finding the way to. It's a very, very strange minute, this idea of if the, you know, very often the guy is diving late, he's lingering behind the Shalai, that's right. So if the diving dove, if the eagle is running around looking for someone to be made with him, if you take that idea seriously, that you need a din of Edus, we should plug in the din of yesterday's Kriyas of Nimsa Echad and Edom Korev Apostle, that if one of the Edom turns out to be apostle, it throws off the entire cast. So in every given shul, there are people apostles. There are, my son is laughing next to me. If the guy in the back of the garden, there are a lot of people apostle the Edus. So when you, I don't mean the back of our shul. The seats don't exist anymore. But you know, you have a lot of time, you have apostle aid. Like Tyson says, the cash, every Kedusha has apostle aid under the Chuppah. So Tyson says, the only reason why it's not a problem is because there was no Haggadah Edus to base it. But here, I'm giving Haggadah Edus. We have 100 people giving Edus together, and 16 of them apostles. So if you're really holy to Mishnah Berurah, then that's the down, but it's an Edus, and it's a Chuppah apostle. Nice, strange, but whatever it is. So the Chazon Ish was opposed to this. Usually I have this problem every Friday night. I have this problem that I'm always lagging behind. So by the time everyone gets to Mechum, I'm still in the middle of davening. So for years, it was always bothering me. Mishnah Berurah, Chazon Ish, what I do, I can't believe it's a great idea. There's only something you can do as a rabbi. That I always time that I get the Vayechulu in Mashkon Esrei when everybody else is saying Vayechulu. So that's when I get my nod. I'm about to say Vayechulu. So that's good to say. So I'm not yet to my Mishnah Berurah's Vayechulu. Later the Edus, but I'm yet to Mashkon Esrei the Edus. But sometimes I'm falling even a little bit more behind. So sometimes I'm still I'm first holding the Atta Kedashta, and I already hear rumbling in the back. So I give the nod already to Atta Kedashta. Why? Because I've already taken 18 years of perfection of this, but I know that it takes me less time to get from Atta Kedashta to Vayechulu than it takes for the Tzibut to say it. And as long as they're still saying it, even not Shebrolik in Masos, they're still saying Masos, and then I immediately say Vayechulu. That's called I'm going to say this with Asachas, because it's all Vayechulu they give. So those are, again, the tricks of the trade, but I don't recommend that to anybody else. Anyway, back to the story. So although I must say that there are many, many conveniences that we've found in our new setting. One of the tremendous conveniences is the eye contact between the rabbi and the chaz is significantly better than it was in the past. It used to be pretty good when I used to sit here and the chaz was here. It used to be very easy, but now when I used to be here and you're close to the middle, especially when Yaakov used to walk between, it was a very, very hard direct line of contact, and now it's very significantly okay, anyway, back to this. It only takes one knot. Sometimes we used to take 3-4 knots and then we actually quit with the knot. Okay, so back to our story. So the Gemara has a din of Tzarech Eidim, but it's Eidos. This has nothing to do with Chazor, this has nothing to do with Das. Here the Eidim give Eidos, and then when we start the two Eidos together, so what does that do with the regular din of Tzarech Eidim? That's not the din of Tzarech Eidim. So the Chazor, it sounds to the Gemara that there are actually multiple din, multiple layers of Tzarech Eidim. Tzarech Eidim is a din of Chaloshim, and Tzarech Eidim is also a din of Tziruf. It's a din of Tziruf of Eidim, a Tziruf of Eidim, it's a Tziruf of different things that can be joined together, linked together to Tzarech Eidim. So it could be over here when a person says, I can't call this, then he immediately corrects himself and says, I can't. So the Gemara never says the first, that's good. The whole idea of correcting a bracha, was based on the Gemara at the beginning of the second bracha, that the Rambam learned a certain shah of the Gemara, that actually other Sham didn't even learn that way, but based on the Gemara at the beginning of the second bracha, the Rif and the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch developed this idea, you can correct a mistake in Hilchos Brachos, so correct a mistake in Hilchos Tefillah within a short window of time, within the period of Tzarech Nedibah. So this is not the regular din of Tzarech Nedibah, this is not Hilchos Dar, it's not even really Hilchos Edus, this is a new kind of halacha of Tzarech Nedibah, that any Brachos and Tefillah, mistake, now, and correct it immediately,
are counted as if they are corrected. The only thing is, the post can point out, that only makes sense if he didn't start the next bracha. The guy's already holding the next bracha, even though he's less than a word. He started to say the first word of the next bracha, then to go back and correct, so that's a big problem. So the bottom line is, you should not make a mistake in Rav HaKadosh on the first side of Rosh Hashanah. For the many, even they should make a mistake in Rav HaKadosh. If you dive in the master, you remember to say Rav HaKadosh, so you won't run into this problem. If you did make a mistake, and you remember to say Dibur, so then we assume that the Eved, even though we don't quite understand the longest, but we assume that that one can correct the mistake, even as long as it's Dibur. There are other additions to the Shmanesh that we recite earlier, the Tzvetshuva, that do not appear in the Gemara. They appear in the works of the Gaonim, so we don't know exactly how far they go back. But they're not explicit in the Gemara. Because they're not explicit in the Gemara, therefore most of the Rishonim write that they're not ma'akev. The general rule, a lot of things in learning, a lot of things in halacha, the things that appear in the Gemara are usually considered to be the ikuba. The hagim that were instituted after the Bala Gemara don't appear in the Gemara explicitly, so I generally assume that they're not the ikuba, that they're only the chetchila. So too in the chus tefila, the chus saras mechuba, if a person forgot to say zechrenim, chmoch, etc., so those things are not going to be ma'akev b'di'evet. The Rishonim are even bothered where this comes from, this idea of saying the zechrenim are a little bit shaky, because the Gemara says, Masechet Brachos, that generally you're not really supposed to say your bakashas in the first few brachas. The Shmoneh Esrei is divided into three categories. There's the Shevach, the bakashas, there's a da'a, and you're supposed to keep it those categories. You're not supposed to be shol tzrachav in the first three brachas or in the last few brachas. And yet we go ahead and we do it. And we ask Zofrein L'chaim the first brachas. We say Chlov, we say Chafayim, we say these things. In the last brachas, it's not really appropriate. So the Mishnah explained that when you have Tzrachet Tzibur, that overrides everything. Tzrachet Tzibur, you can do things and say things which are even not absolutely sanctioned for the rest of the year. So it has to be true, but those extra special Tzrach HaShah, the Tzrach HaTzibah, so one is permitted to violate those other halachas of Ayurakish Tzrachos. That's what I'm going to give, that we add these things in. But again, these things are not really Me'ikra Din, they're really B'Torah's Midah. That's part of the reason why there were many who were opposed to the conclusion of the last bracha of the Sefer Chaim. So we know that there were many communities in Europe who used to have the practice. They would end the bracha with Osaf Shalom. So the Philly Gaon and others were very opposed to that practice, because since the whole saying of the Sefer Chaim doesn't appear in the Gemara, the whole thing is, so we have no right to be Mishan Rav Beshto Chom B'Brachas. So the first says that with Chachamim, the Yachik Nesek Dolem of Misachin, certain Nusach HaBrachas, so the Chassimus HaBrachas is very, very important. The text of the Brach itself is less important, because we know even different Minhagim, there's a lot of different Minhagim about some of the texts of the Brach, which for that's right, everybody agrees to the basic thrust of the Brach, and have the same basic theme, and then there were different Minhagim about the words, but the Chassimus of Brach, those were instituted by Chazal, and those the Chassimus of Brach, you're not permitted to tamper with, unless Chazal tells you to tamper with it, like Mecha Kodesh, Mecha Mishpat, but there is no Gemara that says to change Hamavarach to Osa Shalom, and therefore there are many folks who were opposed to doing it. So Yeshvi, in Europe, there were many places that had that practice, and that minhag has become less and less prevalent today. It's one of those things I've pointed out in the past. It's one of those minhagim I've seen change my own lifetime. So, I don't consider myself to be that old, but I've watched over the last several decades that minhag has changed. When I grew up, so every shul that I ever went to always said, right, also, you know, Burma Masters, that was the minhag in America for decades. You know, said Osa Shalom, so everyone said Osa Shalom. And I think in Galicia, I think in Poland, they must have said Osa Shalom, that's probably where they got it from. And those who followed the Hagi Hagra, and even those who didn't follow a little bit of the Hagra, but this particular minhag, swept in, and this became the standard meaning of all the yeshivas to say Amavarech, and Eretz Yisrael to say Amavarech, so the tide has shifted from the Birnbaum Machzor of the 1960s to the Oscar Machzor of the 2020s, so Osa Shalom is a footnote somewhere that says, there are some who say, I haven't heard those some who say in about 30 years or so, but there are still some who say, by my old shul, which I still say Osa Shalom, I still say Osa Shalom, oh, we've lost this one there, okay, so then you still use the Birnbaum Machzor, whatever it is, whoever uses the bird, if you use the Burma Mach and the Hertz Chumash, so you can say El Seshal. We'll be diving on Rosh Hashanah, we daven Yom Kippur as well, so we walk a little bit of a tightrope in terms of our davening, because a little bit of a throwback to what we spoke about in the Yom Shir yesterday, that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are Yom Dovim, there are Mo'adim, Elam Mo'adim Hashem, it's true. Whether or not there's a full mitzvah of simcha is a different question, but they are more than Hashem. On the other hand, they are unique in the sense that they're the Yom Narayim, and therefore there are certain nuances in the Shemoneh Esrei that express this idea, almost as like a challenge, this conflict a little bit, between what the nature of the Rosh Hashanah and Kippur all about. In the first place that we find this challenge is in the, we find it both in the davening Shemoneh Esrei as well as in Kiddush, in the passage of Atitno Shemon Kenev Yavah, what comes next. So we know that Mishal Shavolim, so it comes next is Mu'adim, the Simcha, Chav, and Zman, and also. So the Rosh, in the end of Masechet Rosh Hashanah, quotes in Achmekes, going back before the Rosh, on David the Gaonim, whether one should insert that phrase, of Mu'adim, the Simcha, Chav, and Zman, and also, into the Shemana Esrei, both on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So there are some Mishal who say, yeah, it's Mu'adim, the Simcha, Chav, and Zman, and also. That was the Losh we saw in the Rambam yesterday, that Rosh Hashanah, maybe even Yom Kippur are days of Simcha to some degree. That's in Piyaseira, but days of Simcha. There are some Gaonim who had the text that you say, Mu'adim Simcha Chag Zman Sosan, and the Rosh quotes that there are others who didn't have that phrase, who leave that phrase out, Mu'adim Simcha Chag Zman Sosan. That's what practice is. What is the Nekudas of Machlokes? What are they arguing about? So there are two different ways of understanding what the Machlokes between the two Nishchos is all about. So one Machlokes is this Simcha Roshan? Very, very straightforward question. If there's a mitzvah simcha, then you should say it. If there's no mitzvah simcha, then don't say it. So is there a mitzvah simcha in Rosh Hashanah? So we saw yesterday that the Rambam sounds like there is, because the Rambam writes that Imshah Yom Tovim, which included, seems to include Rosh Hashanah, the Rambam seems to say that there is simcha sayom min haTorah in Rosh Hashanah, and it would make sense, also based on what we said yesterday, that the Rambam's view is that simcha min haTorah can include Shas Tumachos. It doesn't have to necessarily be Achilas HaKarbonos. That was the view of the Rambam. That was the Rambam we spoke about yesterday in Mount Hallel. So you can have this model of Simchas HaYom and HaTorah with other kinds of celebrations. So therefore, according to the Rambam, it's not wild, it's inconceivable to say that Rosh Hashanah is not Simcha. Nobody's going to make some mikdash. There's no deal of regga. There's no Karbonos, no Sham Simcha on Rosh Hashanah. But you're having Bosa V'yayin. Whenever the Rambam thinks that Simchas HaYom is in the other Golem, so according to the Rambam, it's conceivable to have Bosa V'yayin and Rosh Hashanah. And that would be a fulfillment of Simcha. So according to the Rambam, it would make sense to say Mu'adim and Simcha. Tosis of a second Bekan, we just left off with in the Shir yesterday, holds that Simcha Min HaTorah is really only Beis HaMikdash. All other trips to Six Flags and Bosa V'yayin, all that stuff is all with the Rambam. The only time the Simcha derives is only the Simcha HaKarbonos. So then it would make sense not to say that phrase in Rosh Hashanah, because there is no Simcha HaKarbonos. You don't go to Beis HaMikdash. There's no deal of regal, no Kram Chagiga, no Shabbos Simcha, none of that on Rosh Hashanah. So it would make sense in Rosh Hashanah probably to leave that phrase out. So that was like conventional wisdom, as always, that the Machlokes, the Tunis Chos and Tfila, is a very long list of the Raisa. The question is there Simcha HaKarbonos in Rosh Hashanah? So the Sefer Mishnas Yavetz from Jolti, so he suggests that maybe that's not the point. Maybe everybody agrees there's Simcha on Rosh Hashanah. The reason why some Gaonim say not to say it is the same reason why we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah. We mentioned yesterday that just because Rosh Hashanah is a happy day, it doesn't mean we have to talk it up. It doesn't mean we have to publicize it. It doesn't mean we have to get all excited about it, because it's also a Yom Hadin. So for us to get up and say with a straight face in Rosh Hashanah, someone taps you on the shoulder and says, yeah, you just said it's not a Tekif. Like, cool it a little bit, like, calm down. You don't scream from the rooftops. Mu'adim Simcha Chag Zman Sosan. According to Jolti, it's not simcha. It's not you don't have to have bosa. It's not you don't have to have yayin. You have to have whatever you would do on a regular yom tov, you have to do on Rosh Hashanah also. It's just that luchos tefila, we tone down things a little bit because we don't want to detract from the pacha, nerva oyim of the Yom Hadin. So it's not clear why exactly we delete the phrase, but we do. That's the nice aminig, is that we don't say that phrase, mu'adim simcha, either because we think it's halachically inappropriate, because it's just not true, or we think even though it's true, but still it's hashkafically inappropriate, because it's going to take away the trash from the emes hadin. So the nice to leave that phrase out. There is another phrase that everybody agrees has to be left out, even if Rosh Hashanah is as non-simcha, but it's not as non-alilul regel, that everybody agrees. It could be that there was a practice, and some people do Aliyah L'Rego. That's what the Pesukim sound like in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, that Elkanah used to go up to the Mishkan once a year, Lamed Aliyah L'Rego. So he used to go on audition. Everybody earned only 3 times a year. And he went up another time in Rosh Hashanah. The story begins that Rosh Hashanah happens at Rosh Hashanah. It's not crazy to say that people went to the Mishkan on Rosh Hashanah. I go down by the coast of Rosh Hashanah today also. So it's not inappropriate to go to the Mishkan on Rosh Hashanah. It's just that it's not obligatory. So, but even though some people may have gone to the visit of the Mikdash and Rosh Hashanah, everybody agrees you're not mechuyav to do so, and you don't bring the special kavanah, that's for sure. So for that reason, that the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rishonim, that it is inappropriate to say in the Musaf that the Ein Arach B'cholom La'alos V'Roz L'Shtachos L'Fanecha, because it's a true statement, but it's irrelevant to Rosh Hashanah. We don't say that on Shabbos either, because it's not as bad as La'alos V'Roz L'Shtachos L'Fanecha. So on Rosh Hashanah, we should go, on Rosh Hashanah, we go straight from Necha Zeneg L'Nesenu, Chach Neel L'Nesenu, Ein Arach B'cholom La'alos V'Roz L'Shtachos L'Fanecha. But that phrase of Ein Arach B'cholom La'alos V'Roz L'Shtachos L'Fanecha is not appropriate, because it's not relevant, it's not applicable on Rosh Hashanah nor on Yom Kippur. That's the Farish in Shulchan Aruch. That was the background of one of the mysteries. We've added to the mysteries in the years. So those are looking around. Who's around the first Rosh Hashanah in our Torah? Really? Right, Yusuf, you were around, right? You were around. Yeah. You know, you're on Elah, right? Did you have that first Elah? I don't remember. I think you got 1 or 2 years first in Elah. I remember being in the Kufa. So, okay, not too many people around. So that first, it was do you remember the crisis? That first Rosh Hashanah. So the Balmus was not thrown. So the Balmus got to this phrase, Rechanig and Matenu, and he said, Ein Arach B'cholom La'alos L'Roz. He started to say La'alos L'Roz. So I put my hand up, in those days you could see easily. So I put my hand up, said, he didn't know what I wanted. So I said, stop. So I walked over and I pointed, and he pointed at the master. And it said in the art school master, it said in big bold letters, it says, La'alos L'Roz L'Shachos L'Roz. He was reading right out of the master. He should have been down for the river master. So I didn't say it because I didn't want to talk in the middle of but I motioned to him that I couldn't care less what it says in the master. I said, you don't say it. I said, because Shulchan Aruch says you don't say it to finish. So it turns out it was a mistake in the master. The master recalled that master. So that was the background for that master that disappeared. It was the first of the many mysteries, the unsolved mysteries of our Torah. That master, Rosh Hashanah master, this is Kazan's master, right, Josh? You never found that master? 18 years it's missing.
The Rosh Hashanah?
Yeah.
So
18 years ago. It's not going to show up somewhere like in that building.
So someone texted me yesterday saying that when they bought the Rosh Hashanah rooms for master, the Rosh Hashanah master was out of stock. Literally, right?
Oh, no, I'm talking about that one from 18 years ago.
Good, yeah.
Yeah, because they probably still haven't anyway, bottom line is the master from 18 years ago with the wrong phrase is gone. It is gone together with the other mystery of Ora Torah. It is the Eretz of Shul Chal Rol that has not yet shown up. And there's another one that was added to our list this year. Somebody decides to take in themselves a bite of the Eretz Hateris. That somebody started to eat the Eretz. Now, I couldn't make a fuss about it because that would disqualify the Eretz. Unless it's an Eretz, that if someone makes a fuss about the Eretz, that they don't let people take from it, the whole Eretz is buckled. Because the whole goal of the Eretz is to be the honor of the community together. So I didn't say a word about it. I didn't want to put in the announcements, please don't touch the Eretz. That would have disqualified the Eretz. But I was, even though there were many masters that were left, but I got nervous as they opened up the box. So opened the box, the masters started to get stale. So after a few months, the Toski might go a little bit weary. So many people keep the box of matzahs closed. So I got a little bit nervous. So I bought a new box of matzahs for the Erev about a month ago. And it's still open. It's still closed. I want to take it. I want to take it. I'm not mocking on the Erev. But whatever it is. Anyway, we'll leave it at that. When I bought the box of matzahs, so it's supposed to... You're supposed to have the chachinah shleimus, the matzah is supposed to be shalem. The mikva did, it's probably okay, the gemara has it, that may not apply to it, whatever the reason is. But it's supposed to be chachinah be shleimus. So the problem is that sometimes you open up a box of matzahs, if the matzahs are broken. So I always try to buy the matzahs that have the most matzahs in it. It's my best shot of having the shear of a shleimus. Again, I don't have extra vision, so I don't know how many real shleimus. I'll only find out the next year. But I try to buy the biggest, fattest box. So it happens to be that the hadar, the KAJ, the Breuer's 18-minute masters happen to have more masters in the box than other. I have no idea why, but those are, they have like 20 masters, most masters have 50 masters, whatever, they have the most masters, so you get the biggest bang for your buck. They're also expensive because they're all the Hidurim Dika masters, but that's what I usually buy every year, the special boys masters. So now in July, it wasn't so easy to find them, but I found them in the store. And they cost the same price. Apparently, sometimes the masters go down. If it's supposed to say, I paid like $9 or something for a box of masters. They usually go for $1.50 after the day. The guy in the store is probably wondering why this guy's buying a $9 box of masters for the after. So that was my contribution to the Bergen County community. So anyway, I'm not going to say please don't eat the masters, but if you do eat the masters, please feel free to reimburse us with the new box of masters. Okay, anyway, so that was added to the mystery. There are other things that one is supposed to be medayik in terms of the tefillahs on Rosh Hashanah, Kippur, some of them on Rosh Hashanah particularly, and that's in the phrase of busa versus busfei. This year is a little bit less of a room for mistake. So usually the rule is very simple. When you have one kedusha yom, so you say a musaf. When you have multiple kedusha yom, you say musfei. You have Shabbos and Yom Tov together, Shabbos and Shabbos together, etc. So you say a musfei. So Rosh Hashanah, you always say musfei because there are really multiple musafs. There's the musaf of Rosh Chodesh, there's the musaf of Rosh Hashanah. They're all kind of swallowed up together. Musfei yom zikaron zeh, because Rosh Chodesh is also shtibul yom zikaron. So we don't make too much of a fuss about the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, but we do mention it by throwing in the phrase Musfei. So the Poskim say that one should be careful to say Musfei really on the first day as well as on the second day, even on the second day is not really Rosh Chodesh anymore. But we always treat the second day like the first day, so one should be careful to say Musfei on both. This year there's less room for a mistake because it happens to be Shabbos, so for sure you say Musfei. There was one of the Machzorim that was printed for many, many years, not the Birnbaum. Anyone know which one? Adler Matzorim, the old black Adler Matzorim. So for some reason did not have the word Musfei in Rosh Hashanah. They only had a Musaf. They only said that if it's on Shabbos, they say Musfei. So in case you're interested in the mistakes that were made back in the 1950s, so that had to be corrected as well. Okay. In the davening on Rosh Hashanah, so there's a special Tzaddik Chachamim. Going to summit even more than just the Kanas HaChamim, those are the Mishnayas and the other Masechus Rosh Hashanah that speak about the extra brachas that were added into the davening on Rosh Hashanah, the brachas of Malchus, Kanas and Shofars. The Mishnah says explicitly that Chazal added on, and there's a whole sugya Masechus brachas about this, that Hani Tisha brachas connected me. The bottom line is Chazal clearly added on the special unique brachas of Malchus, Kanas and Shofars. There is the Machlekes of Rishonim and Chumash as to whether this is a Din Min HaTorah, not Rashi. In a few places, Rashi and Chumash, and Rashi in a couple of places, Rosh Hashanah seems to take the Gemara literally that these are mamish dinim in HaTorah, that on Rosh Hashanah, not only do you have to blow shofar, but you have to accompany the shofar with words of tefillah, words of psukim, and that's all including the phrase zichron truah, as Rashi writes in his parashah and Chumash, and the Ramban takes issue with that Rashi, and the Ramban says, like, look at the Gemara, it sounds like it's only a Din Min HaTorah, and the whole saying of Machlokes and Shofars, lock, stock, and that was only made up by the Chachamim. How did the Ramban know that? So it's based on the famous Gemara, the Enemas of Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara talks about, if you have a guy who lives far away, and he lives in a town, there's no shofar, there's no chazin, there's no box, there's no idea, he can't do anything. So he's got to go away for Yom Tov. Where's he going to go to? So his luck is that one town that he can go to only has a shofar, but there's no chazin, and there's no chazin, no one knows how to daven, so he's not going to daven Musaf. And the other town has a great chazin, so the Yotze, the Tefillah, is here in the chazin, but there's no shofar there. So which town should he go to? So the Gemara says he goes to the town with the shofar instead of the town with the chazin. Of course, says, why? Because Hadderaisa, Hadderabana. The verse says that the town with the shofar will enable him to fulfill the derayis, so the town with the chazan will only enable him to fulfill the musaf, which is only the rabban. So the Ramban of Atari asks against Rashi, the verse says black and white, that the saying of musaf and Rosh Hashanah is only the rabban. So what's Rashi telling us that it's a derayis? Huh? So basically all the acharonim, each one of their own musaf says the same teretz, that when did Rashi say that saying the Malchus Shofar is deraisa? That's when it accompanies the shofar. So when you have a Yom Shua, then there's a deraisa saying a Zichron Shua. But if you have a Zichron Shua on its own 2 feet, that's like any other Muslim, any other Shabbos in Yom Tov Muslim, that's not elevated to be a deraisa. So Rashi is right. That Min HaTorah, there is a mitzvah to daven the Muslim to say the Malchus Shofar, but that's only if and when you're going to blow the shofar. That's why this year, so not only did we lose out the mitzvah of Kishon from the Torah on the first day, but the Ma'at Kishon also has to be the Daraisa. Even according to Rashi, the Davening Musa from the first day this year is only going to be a mitzvah of the Rabban. It's still important, still with a good Ma'at for that, but it's a different kind of a Musa, so according, at least according to Rashi. According to the Rabban, it's the same Musa as any other year. It's all the Rabban anyway. The whole Ma'at Kishon is half a week ago, is all with the Rabban. So the Ma'at with the Daraisa of the Rabbanon, the Mishnah says that you have to daven the Ma'at Kishon Shofas. There were two big machlokes in the Rishonim that in the days the Gaonim were unresolved. They both become resolved in the last 1,000 years or so. But in the days the Gaonim, the days of the early Rishonim, were two unresolved issues concerning the brachas of Machas, Chas, and Shofros. There was one opinion that Machas, Chas, and Shofros is only recited by the Chazan. It's not recited by the Tzibur. If the Tzibur davened the regular Muslim Shmoneh Esrei, like any other yontif, you just say after Chatanim, it's like a regular musaf that would be what we would have expected on a regular Yom Tov. The whole takana of Malchus Chos and Shofros is only when the Chazan repeats the Shemoneh Esrei. That was one view. So that would shave off about 45 minutes off of davening. But whenever we quote that opinion, we have to give equal time to the other opinion. So the other opinion maintains that no. That not only is Malchus Chos and Shofros have to be said by everybody, but it has to be said by everybody in all the tefillos. That where do we find that we have a different number of brachas? On Yom Tov you say Shabbos, you say 7 brachas for all the tefillos. So on Rosh Hashanah you say 9 brachas for all the tefillos. So Meir begins in Malchus Chos and Shofros, and Shacharis continues in Malchus every Musaf, Mincha, every single tefillah. So if you go with that opinion, that adds a lot of time. You just added a longer Meir, a longer Shacharis, a longer Mincha. So we talk it like neither of those two extreme views. Even though it's interesting, in the days of Rishonim, both of these positions were prevalent. They were both practiced. But the later Rishonim said that the Midah Yisrael has become like neither of these two extremes. We follow the mainstream view of what became the mainstream approach of the Rishonim. And know that the Takana Macha, the Chesed Shofros, was only by a Musaf. It was not by the other Tfilas. But it does apply to the Yachid as well as to the Shaliach Tzibur. That's what our practice is. Within the Malchus Chos and Shofros, there was a Machlokes HaTanoim, exactly what the breakdown of the brachas is supposed to be. So there was Machlokes in Rabbi Yochanan Nuri and Rabbi Akiva about whether the first of the brachas, the Malchus, so where does that bracha go exactly? So it's not a freestanding bracha, it's subsumed under one of the other brachas. So we put it together with the bracha of Yishtayel. The basic structure of the Shemoneh Esrei is the 3 first brachas, the 3 last brachas, and then every Shabbos, Yom Tov, Shemesh, is always the middle bracha, which is the middle bracha that relates to the Kedushas Hayom. So we talk in Halacha that the Malchios is incorporated into the Kedushas Hayom, that we don't start saying the Pesukim Malchios, so we're well into the Kedushas Hayom, and we conclude it together by saying, Melech HaKol HaOretz, B'Kadosh Yisrael, V'Yom HaZikaron. So we get the Malchios, and we get the Melech HaKol HaOretz, and we get the Etzem HaKadosh Hayom as well. That's what our practice is. But the Mishnah quotes, there was an alternate view of Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, who said that no, that you say the Malchios in the Brach of Kadosh Hashem. So when you get to Tata Kadosh, so then you stick in all the 10 Sukkim, then you spin the whole Malchios, then you conclude the Bracha, HaMelech HaKadosh, which makes a lot of sense. That's HaMelech HaKadosh, that's the Bracha of Malchios. The Gemara says that we don't pass like that view. We pass like the view of Rabbi Akiva. It's become our practice for the last 2,000 years or so, that we're kolo the Bracha of Malchios into the Bracha of Kedushas Hayom rather than into the Bracha of Kedushas Hashem. There are some who suggest that there's a little bit of a remnant, a little bit of a shirayim, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri's davening, that still kind of made it into Anuschat Tfilah and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur as well. And that is all the phrases, the Chayim Tein Pachtecha. So no one's quite sure where that comes from. The Rambam quotes the Minig Yisrael to say the Chayim Tein Pachtecha at the beginning of the Bracha of Brichas Hashem on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur. And the question is, where in the world does that appear? So there are some who suggested that maybe that's a little bit of a throwback to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, because we know that whenever we add the Bracha to the Shemoneh Esrei, so before we get to the Pesukim is a real part of the Bracha, but before you get to the Pesukim part, there's a Hakadamah to the Bracha. So the Hakadamah to Malchus is Aleinu, the Bracha to Zichronos is Atah Zorcha, the Bracha to the Hakadamah of the Shofros is Atah Deglesa. So we have a whole passage or two that sums up what we're about to say, and then we get to the punchline, we get to what the Pesukim are. That's the main thrust of the Brachas. But there's this this long introduction telling us what the theme of the bracha is about to be. So according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, who had his Malchus back in the bracha of Kiddushin Hashem, so then there should have been an introduction in that bracha as well. So what was that introduction? That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't know who was the first one to come up with this theory. I don't have an idea who came up with this interesting insight. So maybe it's not 100% clear. Why exactly is the saying of saying, according to this idea, what this has to do with Yom Kippur? Why are we saying Chente Bachtacha on Yom Kippur is a little bit of a strange thing. So where the Gemara says in the Sefer Hashanah that Yom Kippur Shal Yoybel, so they would daf and mach is a question Shokas also. So somehow every Yom Kippur became Yom Kippur Shal Yoybel. Like Tesis quotes from Haigon, that you blow shofar at the end of Yom Kippur because it's a Zechel Yoybel. Tesis says you should blow shofar once every 50 years, so you're blowing every Yom Kippur. So every Yom Kippur someone would make a little shtickle Zechel Yoybel. So again, the whole thing is a little bit shaky. We're not exactly sure where this Chente Bachtacha comes from. But the mice we said, and it's funny because we say it by all the tefillos, we also say it by Musaf, which is a throwback to those Rishonim who say that maybe you say Machas Chos Shom to all the brachas. So again, it's a little bit of a riddle. We have this, it's a beautiful, such a beautiful, inspiring, uplifting tefillah. There's some great songs and great chazamas, opportunities, simple, there's a lot of stuff in there. But we're not exactly sure how luckily where it fits into the whole picture of things. But the Machas Chos Shom, that's pretty sure. That's the real stuff. That's a real either deraita or din deRabbanan. The Mishnah tells us that when you say Machas Chos Shofar, so you have to say Psukim. You have to say Psukim to support, like you mentioned yesterday, you have to support your statement. You make a statement that Hashem is the Melech, prove it. So Pasuk from Chumash, Pasuk from Tum, Pasuk from Navi. So we try to prove it, and we prove it multiple times, that this is true, that Hashem is the Melech, and the Zeicher, and the Shofar, etc. What if a person didn't say any tzukim? What if a person got a little lazy or shut up and just says, B'chumi, ayin sham. So take a look what says the Chumash. The Gemara says at the end of the Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Kevin Sha'alu v'sarach v'chasav leimah yatsa. I think that's a very cryptic statement then. If a person just says, v'sarach v'chasav leimah, b'di'evin, that's b'chumi, that's also good enough. So there's a machlekes of Rishonim, what that Gemara is talking about. Some of the Rishonim say, that Gemara is not even talking about Rosh Hashanah. That Gemara is talking about the Musaf of Shabbos, Shantav, etc. So the person gets to davening on Shabbos. So he says, Shabbos, and he gets to Kaksua, Ripich, Lazach, Chamor. And instead of saying, of Yom HaShabbos, he's a little lazy. He says, as it says in the Torah of Ayin Pashas Pinchas, he just says, Rasul Chasav Leimor. Some Rishonim say, so he's yanked to the end, you don't actually say the words of the Karbanos. Another Rishonim say, the Gemara is talking about on Rosh Hashanah, that you don't actually say the words of the Pesukim, as long as you made reference to Rasul Chasav Leimor. So the Pesukim point out that that's not really enough, because for Malchus, Rasul and Shofas, you have to say the Vim and Ksuvim also. So you have to say as follows, this is the Gemara Kadavi Rosh Hashanah. I don't want to give any valid feelings, any ideas. I'm going to start shaving away from the davening. So when you get to, what's the first one? Kakasu Besor Tzechel, right? Hashem Yom Chuyom Avod. The guy says, Ki Amal Shoshel Chahil Amayatim Avod, Kakasu Besor Tzechel. And then you just turn the page. And then you get to, Avodim Kosh Kakasu Vlaymar. And then you get Melech, and so according to most of the Shem, you're Yaitse, because you made reference to Torah, Ksuvim, and to the Vim, and Shem, you're Yaitse. I remember when I was a little boy, so it was a different style of shul that I used to daven in. It was a frum shul all year long, but they had 20, 30 older of Al-Bashtim, a little shtibble in Riverdale, and Rosh Hashanah and Kippur packed it again. But people went out, most people went out so from, so at least outwardly from. So the minyan, it was a little hard, it was kind of hard, juggle. So you had your 30, 30 European Balabasim who wanted to have it, and then fun around. So I remember there were certain parts that were the highlights. The Hidimi was like took an hour and a half, that was the real Chazan walked down. We should stop that. You remember those days? Before your days. And the Chazan would walk down to Hidimi, taking steps along the way, we would stop, we would walk. And then when we got to Shemoneh Esrei, so Satzeka took an hour and a half. And then I remember Machas Chos Shofar was, shit the gas. I never heard a word of it. It was, blah, 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 blah. It was the most important part of the entire davening, and somehow never got lost in the shuffle. That and the other part, remember, that always got totally lost was Yom Kippur. All the parts after the Avodah is done, got lost, except with Tia Rabbi Shmuel Satzman, that was always an hour and a half. But the Avodah got lost, but the parts afterwards, all the pages afterwards, you know, the Tzaras, whatever, not only did it get lost, it wasn't said Legamre. They skipped it Legamre. Why did they skip it? Because it's not translated to Burgam Asa. Because that's why. And Mamish, it got, because just got shoved under the rug, right? It was a little skip 10 pages of the Masa. Anyway, so getting back to that story. So the psukim are important. Those are very, very important. Supposed to say the psukim. That's the Iker Bracha. It's not as ma'akev, it's not as important as the saying of the psukim. That's the Iker part of the entire Eshra and Eshra. I remember, years ago, Rosh Hashanah fell out on the Shabbos. I wasn't having an yeshiva that year, but it was Rosh Hashanah crossed the Shabbos. There was a whole uproar because they wanted to be machmer to finish davening before Chatzos, which Shabbos said you should. I disagree. We're not machmer in that, by the way, in case you want to know. Whether or not we will finish, I can't tell you, but we're not machmer looking to finish it even on Shabbos, unless you want to do the Kiddush. That's the other possibility. But I'll make a deal, okay? The deal is on record. We can have a Kiddush on Rosh Hashanah if davening goes to 3:00. If we daven goes to 3:00, that's when I grew up in Tells, all the years of davening in Yeshiva. If davening goes to 3:00, I'm happy. I will sponsor the Kiddush. Okay. I can just tell you that it wasn't such an elaborate Kiddush, it was sponge cake. So if you want to take an hour and a half of sponge cake, so it tells them what makbet. Can we have these 3 makbet? That can we have to cut the piece of cake and things that way. But it tells they were not makbet for that. There wasn't so much cake anyway. But and Davi still went till 3:00. Okay, I don't think anyone in the shul could take me up on it. And anyway, back to the story. So remember that. So one year they were hacking Rabbi Shachter about what we could make the Davi a little bit shorter. So he said, we'll take out the parts that don't matter. So he said, we'll take out Hidini. To the place where Hidney! What do you think Hidney for? He says, it's a nice thing to do that. It's a nice feeling. It's a feeling, very inspiring feeling. If you did it, that doesn't mean all that much. So in some shoes, they say, long Hidney and short Sukkim. So we say long Sukkim and short Hidney. So you have to be careful of the Sukkim. So the Chazan, you have to be careful. I've got to say all the words right. So I try to be careful that sometimes with the evidence, they slur a word here and there. The Gemara says that with the evidence, you say one person goes to Yetzir. So Rasul Chasim, we go to Yetzir. So depends on the year. Some years they get more nervous about it, some years they get less nervous about it. Makshim Rebbe Balakshila, so they usually say the words properly. We don't have to look too much of problems with that. Anyway, bottom line is the most important part of the Davar, Rosh Hashanah, is clearly the Machas versus Shofas, going to Rashi, the Shah of the Rai, say even going to Rabban, it's a Derabbanim, but we try to perform that part of the Tfilah as best as we can. Okay, we'll stop.